Tombstoners. Welcome back to the graveyard for another spooky episode of High on Horror. This week we'll be covering another remake. We're back in the apex of remakes. 2010's The Crazies, a remake of the 1970s George A. Romero kind of cult classic. There are some people who are a fan of this film. And this stars Timothy Oliphant and Radha Mitchell from last week's episode, Silent Hill. Also, because it's a remake, it also stars Danielle Panabaker, who is she's the doctor's nurse.
Okay.
She's Radha Mitchell's nurse. She's in the remake of Friday the 13th.
Oh, she is.
Yeah. She's also Killer Frost in the Flash TV show.
Okay. Yeah.
She's in that whole series. She's pretty good in that. Did you see this in theaters? Like,
I didn't.
No.
Do you want to do Frightful Finds, or are we just going to abandon that?
I mean, if you got something, but we don't have to.
I mean, yeah. I've been getting into collecting horror comics. So
Hell yeah. That's
been a big thing for me right now. I've been collecting, as they're coming out, Alien, Black, White, and Blood, which is, it's advertised as an anthology series, but really it's just like three comic books that are too short to be their own comics, so they just stick them together. So it's continuous stories, like three different stories that just every week they update.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. Once the last one comes out, we might cover it because I got them digitals. So
Yeah. That
would be pretty dope. I also got I'm on a Xenomorph kick. I got the Alien tabletop game for, it's just this big fat book, and it's like, there are different groups that's like, you can be either space truckers, marines, robots, or company men. So it seems like that's going to have a lot of potential. So yeah, I've been collecting a lot of horror stuff. I never stop horroring. I don't know. Do you have anything horror related you want to talk about?
I'm trying to think. I feel like I watched something, but I'm blanking on it right now because I just figured we were skipping this segment. There was some news. There was like a convention, like a movie convention, not like a Comic-Con, but like a insiders type of convention, kind of like a D24 type of thing. For, I believe it was just for Warner Brothers. And there's a lot of horror movies coming out, and they all got a lot of positive reviews, including the new Wolfman movie that comes out this fall. Apparently it looks great. So very excited. That trailer for that new James McAvoy movie, did you see that?
I did not, no.
Oh, this movie looks fucking intense. It's like a married couple meets this other married couple, and they both have a kid on like a like something like Tuscan vacation or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they like talk them in to going back to their house and like hanging out for the weekend. And James McAvoy is like, I'm a doctor and blah, 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 blah. And then like shit just starts going crazy when they get there. Like the girl cuts herself and they're like bandaging her up. And she's like, well, what should I do about this? You're a doctor. And he goes, I'm not a doctor. Like he forgets his story.
Oh, shit.
And then, it just gets more and more intense from there. It looks really good. So, really want to see that. But something I did watch, I watched Lisa Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was fun. It's like kind of like Heathers meets Beetlejuice. Like, the characters kind of act that way. It's not as, like, supernatural as Beetlejuice, but, I mean, there's a fucking zombie man, so.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know very much about it. I heard somebody tell me I need to watch it, and then you told me I need to watch it, so it sounds pretty good.
It's fun. It's pretty funny. The ending's kind of meh, but, like, it just kind of, like, felt, like, rushed and forced out of nowhere. But it is funny, and Catherine Newton's character development through it is phenomenal. She goes from this kind of like quiet mousy girl to this like kind of like Lydia from Beetlejuice, like very like dark and like fun. And I don't know, it's just a good time. I recommend it. It's not incredible or anything, but I mean, it's a fun time for a horror comedy, you know.
Hell yeah, horror comedies are always good. Like,
yeah,
there's never a wrong one.
Nah, definitely worth a watch. Check it out. Oh, the cast is great. The dad is the dad from Stranger Things, playing the exact same character.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah, definitely a good time. But, yeah, this week's movie, The Crazies.
So to answer your question, no, I did not watch this in the theater. I caught this, I think the first time it was when, like, 2010 is like when Netflix just started streaming. Like, that's when it first started happening. I was in the prime of my fucking life. I was 20 fucking whatever. And I had an Xbox 360 hooked up to my TV in my bedroom. I had a couch in my bedroom. We partook in, we partook in intoxicants, and I had a surround sound system and black lights in a black light room with like a crazy psychedelic flower on the ceiling. Man, there was nothing better. And that was one of the early like banners, like check out the crazies. So that's how I watched it for the first time. What about you?
This was the first time I've ever watched this.
What? Really?
And I would probably blame poor marketing. I don't feel like the marketing for this movie told you anything about this movie, really.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the majority of the marketing was the poster with the pitchfork.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I fucking love Timothy Oliphant. If I had known he was the lead guy in this, I would have watched this years ago.
He definitely.
I'm a huge Justified fan.
Really? I didn't know that about you.
Fucking love Justified. I still need to finish it, but I mean, I was watching it pretty consistently there for a while.
I've never seen something that he's in that I didn't like, but the dude definitely, if you believe in the baby-eating theory that keeps you young forever, that dude definitely eats babies. He hasn't aged a fucking day since 2010.
Yeah, he's definitely getting grayer, but he looks, he pretty much looks exactly the same. Did you watch Justified?
I did not, know.
It's great shit. Walter Goggins is the bad guy in it.
Oh, really?
Great. Yeah, fantastic show. And it's funny. It's serious and funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just phenomenal in it.
My stepdad loved that shit. All those like FX and USA shows.
FX,
my stepdad
makes,
was
they
into
make
it.
Some good shit, bro. Fucking white collar, psych.
Burn notice up in this bitch.
You don't like Rizzoli and Isles? That might have been TNT.
It's all the same shit.
Pretty much. Yeah,
nobody watches Las Vegas. Ran for 41
Suits?
Seasons, but nobody watched that shit.
Suits with the princess? What's her name?
Yeah, I never watched any of this shit.
Yeah, good stuff.
But The Crazies was on FX all the fucking time. Like, they really doubled down on Oliphant. So I've seen this movie a bunch of times, several times of which was with commercial breaks and edited bad words.
Hmm. Yeah, I really liked this. I liked it a lot more than I expected to. I have not seen the original. Have you ever seen the original?
No, yeah. I didn't know it was a remake until pretty recently.
Yeah, I had known that this was a George A. Romero movie, but it didn't look all that great. But, I mean, early 70s movie, like, they don't look great.
No, yeah, a lot of them are not great.
Yeah, so, I mean, the premise is pretty cut and dry. This is like a government experiment gone wrong type of thing. I did see quite a few reviews in my research that were calling this a zombie movie. This is definitely not a zombie movie.
Mm-mm.
Not even in a 28 Days Rage virus type of way. This is straight up just crazy people. Like,
yeah,
it's a biological weapon. They don't die and come back to life. They're not fucking zombies.
No, everybody gets rabies in this movie, basically.
Yeah, basically. And that is what they were going for. I watched a video about the production, and they talked about, like, they were trying to make it like a mix between getting rabies and getting some other malaria or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they actually like contacted the CDC to be like, what would it be like if a person like really got rabies?
Got it real bad.
He got full blown rabies. But no, I really liked it. I just kind of like this time period of horror movies, even though it is a very mixed bag. But kind of the look of it, it's a lot of practical. There's not a ton of CGI in this, so I did enjoy that. But I mean, yeah, I guess we'll walk through this a bit.
It was just, before we go any further, I agree. This was a great phase of horror. A lot of people talk shit about the 2010s and like the double aughts for remakes, and it's like, it, you didn't realize that's what horror needed, was to get fucking leveled up. I feel like a lot
of people don't realize too that that is something that has always happened. A majority of the movies you love, folks, from the 80s are fucking remakes of movies from the 50s and 60s.
Exactly. Like, Ocean's 11 and shit. Like, there, all of that shit is everything is an idea that's been stacked on an idea. But just like, as far as horror goes, that was like the 80s of our generation, I feel like, where horror was like at its peak.
Yeah, I don't think we've covered a single remake that we didn't like.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
but there are a few. There are a few out there that I don't like. I mean, we didn't really like Black Christmas that much.
No, but it was the best of the Christmas movies that year. That was crazy.
We haven't seen the original either. Mm-hmm. So, like, and there are remakes where it's just like, I just don't give a shit about the original. I like the remake better. Like, and it's fine. People will fucking like gatekeep that shit. And it's like, who cares? Gives a fuck. Like whatever you like. Like,
yeah, like I like the Hills Have Eyes remake. I don't care about the first one at all. Like the first one didn't strike me in any way, but the remake was fucking crazy.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people just try to be like purists about it. And it's like, there are certain movies where I'll be like, yeah, sure. Like Halloween.
Yeah.
But that's a fucking masterpiece. Not all of these movies are fucking masterpieces. Like,
I'm about ready. So what we're in right now is, since I'm on an alien kick, we're collectively, me and the gal, watching the alien movies. And once we're done with those, we're going in on the Halloween movies pretty hard. I own the, like, for the Halloween, not that this is related at all, this is a podcast, whatever. I own Halloween 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, 5. Like, I got multiple box sets that had the same ones in them, so I have some overlap. But I'm pretty stoked for that. We'll have to do, like, a Halloween, maybe in October we just do the Halloween movies or something, I don't know. But I love the, like, just stick with the theme for a month or whatever when you're, like, watching movies, not even for podcasts. I think that's franchises is the way to go. Chef's kiss.
It is fun. Yeah, it's definitely fun.
But this movie is not part of a franchise. This is The Crazies.
It is, yep. And it's all right there in the title. Yeah. People going crazy. But the way it's done and the slow progression of it is done very well. And I feel like there's enough, like, kind of twists in this movie to, like, really keep you entertained, keep you actually, like, engaged in the film. Because it's not, for a cut and dry premise, it isn't delivered as, like, just here it is.
Right. Like, every time I start to pull back because I'm like, come on, just figure out the mystery already, something fucking crazy happens. Like, as soon as the pace slows down, it amps back up higher than it was. So it's like this crazy, like, spiky line chart just going higher and higher and higher the whole movie. It has a lot of value as far as, like, well-made pacing.
Yeah, I was very shocked after watching this. I'm like, I can't believe that this doesn't get talked about more, because I've never heard anyone, like, recommend this to me or anything. But it starts with we're in the Midwest. It all looks the same. we're in farmland, people.
Ogden Marsh is what the place is called.
Perfect name. And there is a marsh.
And there is a marsh. Yeah.
Timothy Oliphant's our sheriff. His wife is Rhoda Mitchell. She's the town doctor and pregnant. Important part of the story,
because of course he's Timothy Oliphant. He has to be a cowboy. Is he ever not a cowboy in something? I feel like he's always a cowboy. The Mandalorian, he's a cowboy. Justified, he's a police cowboy.
Deadwood, he's a cowboy in that.
Yeah.
He's a porn star producer in The Girl Next Door.
Oh, that's true. He was one of the funniest characters in that movie.
He's also he's a police officer in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Well, I mean, police officer and cowboy are the same thing if it's him. Yeah.
he's one of the killers in Scream 2.
It has been a long time since I've seen Scream 2. That's the one I've seen the least, so I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, one of my least favorites too. People love two. I don't love two. We are off the rails on this.
Yeah, episode. we're having a day today. Recorded in a while, and we're both seem like we're in a pretty good mood. So this is a good time. I miss podcasting. We haven't done it enough lately.
But yeah, they're husband and wife, doctor, police combo. Timothy Oliphant is at a baseball game.
So is everyone else in the town.
So is everybody else in the town. And this man is walking from through the outfield with a shotgun. And they clear the field. Timothy Oliphant's out there, and he's like, "Oh, what's up? You're just drunk, buddy. It's all right. Just put your gun down. No big deal." And he's not saying anything, and he looks disturbed. And then it eventually leads to him having to shoot this man because he goes to draw on him, cowboy style.
Yeah, his shooting and his reflexes are super believable in this movie. He looks down the barrel perfectly. He clearly knows how to actually shoot a gun, unlike a lot of leading men. And it's never a one shot did I get him. It's always bam, bam, secured the kill. He doesn't fuck around in this movie. He's not making a show of it. He's just 100% all defense the whole movie.
Yeah, he's fantastic in this. And yeah, I would agree. He's always, it's probably why he plays law enforcement so much. Mm-hmm. He is always a believable police officer. He believes that man was drunk because he was the town alcoholic. There was a test done and it is revealed that he was not drinking at all. Dun, dun, dun. This is the first mystery. The scene at the funeral home where his family's there and he's like, "I'm sorry, I'm I think he was drunk." And she's like, "That's what you're telling everybody? My husband hasn't drank in 2 years.
You motherfucker."
And she starts slapping him and shit.
Yeah. She plays a grieving wife very well. After the shock of fucking losing your husband, then it's just this, you can feel it, the energy coming off that lady. Is she a famous actress?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not particularly. I don't know. She fucking killed it. She is phenomenal in this movie.
Yeah, the son left some to be desired. Yes, he did. He just kind of stood there like a goon. But yeah, and then we deal with him kind of grieving this, this hard choice he had to make. And when it comes back negative.
Yeah, he's friends with the not the coroner, but the medical examiner, and that guy ran a test and it came out negative. So Timothy Oliphant's like, "What the fuck?"
His wife, Rhoda Mitchell, she's a doctor. She's been visited by a guy named Bill. His wife brought him in because he's been acting a bit weird. Which is the craziness kind of starts just as you kind of start zoning out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
She's examining him, and he's like, "Oh, my wife's just worried. No big deal. It'll be all right." And then there's a pause, and then she asks him a different question, and he gives the same answer.
Mm-hmm.
What follows this scene is fucking some intense shit.
Jog my memory. What's the next thing that happens?
We go to Bill's house.
Oh, Bill's house.
We take a ride on down to Bill's house, and Bill's wife and son are staring outside. They live on a farm, and the tractor's just running a huge cuts down cornfields tractor is just running in their barn, and the wife's like, "All right, I'm gonna go see what he's doing." And she's looking for him and yelling for him. And then she gets up in the tractor and he's not in there. She shuts it off. And then the kid is yelling from inside the house. And she runs back to the house. She winds up, her son grabs her and they hide in a closet. And he's like, "Dad's got a knife." And they're hiding in there. And fucking Bill pops up and locks them in the closet.
Yeah.
And pours gasoline all over the house and sets it on fire and burns them to death. And I was like, holy shit. Yeah, crazy, dude. Indeed.
Yes, crazy indeed. And he just spends his time mowing his lawn while his fucking wife and kid cook alive in the house.
Yeah, they show up sheriff and for some reason doctor lady. They show up to the crime scene and they're like, "Yep, we found him mowing his lawn while his family's in there burning to death." It's like, Jesus Christ.
Any kind of psychological related death around a patient, doctors are like forced, like it is part of their code to respond and like communicate about their medical assessment of how the person was the last time they saw him. That's why she came.
Makes sense. Yeah. I think it was because she was boning the chair.
she was just like on the way home, huh?
Yeah. What happens from there? This is when I believe the hunters that are in the marsh, they come across a dead body, which is a soldier strapped to a parachute, and he's all fucked up. They report this to the sheriff. They go out looking around and find that there is a giant crashed military plane in the water. The sheriff quickly like puts all this together.
He's just like, something fucked up's going on with the water.
Yeah, he's like, oh, there's got to be something in the water if there's a crash plane nobody's been looking for. So they go to the mayor. They try to get an okay to shut the water off. And he's like, fuck no. Like, we're a farming town. You can't kill the water. Everything will die. And he's like, I'm doing it anyways.
Yeah, he pretty much, then he just goes and does it anyway. And he takes the lever off so no one else can turn the water back on, which is a good move.
But does the sheriff actually answer to the mayor?
Yeah. The sheriff only... The only person who can arrest a sheriff is the coroner. So, like, the mayor is his direct boss, and if he's fucking up or if he starts killing people, nobody can arrest him except for the coroner, which is very strange. So the mayor is his, like, direct boss. But that dude, he's a that guy. Like, he's in all kinds of shit. And
yeah, the mayor, yeah. He's like, such a smug prick.
Just a smug, fat, white guy. Hunter Thompson would call him the Great White. But he has a kick-ass swimming pool in the middle of the fucking dust bowl.
Yeah, in the middle of, like, a cornfield. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. It's also, like, I believe it's supposed to be, like, February, and they're in, like, Iowa. Like, yeah. Like, you wouldn't be swimming there. But... they go back to the police station. Bill seems to be dead. He's on the ground bleeding out. And they go to check on him, and he like freaks out. He's screaming, which I'll give you. It's zombie-esque.
Yeah.
But it ain't zombie. Timothy Oliphant's like, this doesn't seem right. He goes outside like nobody's around. It's like a ghost town. There's a lady on a bicycle. That actress is from the original Crazies. They just kind of threw in there as a quick little Easter egg.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. And there is a black SUV, like, taking pictures of them. And then when Timothy Oliphant notices, he runs after it and it takes off. We've also gotten, like, a couple of, like, satellite images that, like, zooms out. Like, the government's definitely watching. They initiated a containment protocol. So this is definitely some secret shit.
The fourth wall breaks for, like, this is what the government's doing now. That kind of could be, that's a tell, not show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was done better in Cabin in the Woods.
Yes, exactly.
Give us those two dudes.
That was a brilliant way to do it, but anyway.
Timothy Oliphant goes to the corner and finds a man with his mouth and eyelids sewn shut, which is...
always rough.
Yeah, all I could think while watching it was, like, how could you get the hook up under the eyelid? Like, it was really fucking with me.
Yeah, and, like, how do you get the dude to stay still so you don't poke it through his eyeball? Like, the logistics are horrific.
And fucking medical examiner comes out with the bone saw.
Yep, he's ready to cut some fucking faces off. He goes crazy. Usually a saw like that is pneumatic, so it runs on air. It's not a plug into the wall situation, but in this movie it's a plug into the wall situation.
Yeah, I mean maybe 2010.
Maybe the tech was different. It was 14 years ago.
They do a little battling, the coroner guy gets chopped up, and then the saw comes for the Oliphant's junk. The saw, like, zooms across the floor as he's, like, backing away from it, and it stops right near his taint because the fucking deputy steps on the extension cord.
Yeah, that was a close one. That was no more pregnant wives for you. You get one.
They did that with, they just did old school, tied a fishing line to that saw and dragged it towards them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, classy.
Yeah, whatever works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's at this point, I believe, Sheriff goes and finds his wife, and they're like, let's go back to the house real quick. We got to get the fuck out of here. And this is when we find out the government is full on here. They snatch them up. They take them to, like, basically, I don't know what you want to call it. It's like a concentration camp.
Yeah, it's like a FEMA camp that they set up at the school.
It's like a, yeah, some weird quarantine zone, but they're like splitting people apart on based on whether or not they have a fever, which is why it was important to know that Rhoda Mitchell is pregnant, because she has a fever from being pregnant. So she gets taken away like she's infected. Timothy Olyphant's brought to like this bus station where they're like, you guys are good, you can go. And he talking to that dude. That dude's like, yeah, they took my wife too, bro.
Yeah, that was the, like, that part of the movie, I was like, holy shit, really? This dude's just like, hey, why don't we take it as we got it here, and we don't need to have wives anymore.
Yeah, he's like, clean slate, motherfucker. They took my bitch.
I've been waiting for this moment. And Timothy Olyphant is just like, I am a gentleman. And basically tells that guy to go fuck himself.
And then, yeah, he just kind of like sneaks away.
Yeah, the writing of the story is pretty good. There's a bit of generic in there, but the way the lines are written is very well done. Every character has a voice. Like, nobody is super, well, the secretary lady or the assistant at the doctor, she's kind of generic, but everybody seems to have like a pretty well-established voice and personality that are unique to themselves. And you can really tell with Timothy Olyphant's character, excuse me, that he says, I tell you what does he say? Like, I won't, if you, what does he say? Hold on. If I don't ask you why, or if you don't ask me why I have to stay and save my wife, I won't ask you why you don't have to stay and save your wife. Like, it's such a well-crafted, I feel like I butchered it, but it was just a really well-crafted way to put it. And he doesn't speak in riddles. It's like very direct, but just poetic.
Yeah. And then he literally Batmans it. A bus drives by, and when the bus passes, he's no gone. Longer there.
Puff of smoke.
Yeah, he dropped a fucking smoke pellet and disappeared. Yeah, all where Rhoda Mitchell is, everyone is like strapped to a gurney because there are people that are losing it, and she just doesn't happen to be. Her nurse is also there, who also seems to be fine. And then the principal from the high school, he's gone crazy, and he comes in with a fucking, like,
a pitchfork.
Pitchfork, and just starts stabbing people.
This part of the movie is so crazy because everyone is strapped down to, like, gurneys. And the outside, keeping people separated, isn't going so good. And someone drives a truck through the fence. So a riot breaks out, and all the military people are like, let's get the fuck out of here. So
yeah, they switch plans from, like, containment and extraction to kill everybody.
Pretty much.
Because we can't contain this anymore.
And so all the people who are strapped down to beds are just stuck. And then a crazy dude with a pitchfork comes in and just starts slowly sliding it into people. It's like, Jesus Christ! No, no, no!
And poor Rhoda Mitchell's about to die, but luckily the Olyphant is there.
With the 1-2, bam, bam.
It's another smoke pellet. Timothy Olyphant appears. And yeah, he's got his deputy in tow. They geared up at the police station. They locked and loaded. And they're going to work their way out of here.
What a fucking MVP the his partner is.
Deputy? Yeah, he's fucking his ride or die. Yeah.
He's just like, oh, we're going to go murder a bunch of people for you? Anything, bro. Let's do this.
Yeah. I don't seem to have a girlfriend. I got nothing to live for. Let's do this. They're like, we're going to go to our house and like pack up supplies and get our car. But first, nurse girl, Killer Frost, wants to get her boyfriend. And this part of the movie is fucked up and sad and like intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get to the boyfriend's house.
And they go there because Rhoda Mitchell is like, you would do this for me. I would do this for you. We can't take this away from this girl.
And they're like, yeah, I guess. I guess that's worth four of our lives. But they get there, and he's like, yeah, my mom's inside. Like, we can get her, and we can go. And then the fucking military shows up and, like, rips his mom out of the house. And he runs over to, like, save her, and they kill him and the mom. And then fucking set their bodies on fire with a flamethrower.
Yo, that was a real flamethrower, too. Imagine fucking being Viet Cong and then some dude comes running up on you blowing that much flame. Like, the flames were huge coming out of that fucking thing.
And then the scene, right, that scene continues and gets extremely tense where they're hiding in the barn and the military guy comes into the barn. And it's, like, slowly, like, he's gonna get to the end of this barn and find you guys. And they fucking, like, nab him. And they're like, listen, just shut the fuck up and we won't kill you. Like, just go out there, say all clear. There's no need for anybody to die here. Because otherwise, we're gonna have a firefight.
And that is where they find out, like, what, it, like, this is the confirmation of this is what's going on. Military can't contain. They had a bioweapon that they were testing, and they happened to drop it in the Ogden March. Oopsie! And
Yeah, it's made for, like, basically so you can drop it in enemy territory and have them all kill each other so you don't have to do any of the work.
Exactly. And this dude, he looks, sounds, and acts like every dude I've ever known who's gone to the military. Like, they really nailed this guy, too.
Yeah, he definitely is he's a grunt.
100%.
They even, like, told him, like, oh, you have to keep your gas masks on, like, gotta kill anybody you see, and all this shit. So they get out of that. They go back to the sheriff's house, and they're loading up. The deputy and Killer Frost are gonna fix the car that's there, because why wouldn't it be working?
Yeah, no, they needed it to be a classic.
Yeah. Yeah, gotta give them something to do while they load up their first aid kit and shit. And this is Miles' favorite part of the movie.
Hell yeah, it is. So they're fixing up the car. The deputy is down there working on the car with the other girl whose boyfriend just got barbecued.
Killer Frost.
And the main two characters, they go into the house. And who is it? It's Bill's wife and son. They're there being all crazy. And they get into this knockdown, drag-out fight. That is so fucking crazy, dude.
It is pretty intense.
She stabs him through the hand and pins his hand to the ground and then wants to make him watch his wife die. And he ends up getting up and with the knife still inside of his hand, stabs her in the neck with the knife that's like through his hand. He gets her with the other end of it. It was so crazy.
I thought he was going to, like, rip his hand through it.
Yeah.
And, like, fucking butterfly his hand open. Ugh.
Thank God he didn't do that.
All of it's bad. Ugh. I expected from that, though, like, with him stabbing her in the neck, I thought he was going to start to become a crazy.
Yeah, right. Blood v. blood right there. But it doesn't happen, and the deputy shoots her son so that he doesn't get the murder on there.
And then it turns out he's going a little bit the crazies. Because he comes up there and shoots that dead body like three more times. And they're like, all right, dude, think you got him.
So the way that they establish like the order people go crazy is where they are in the water line towards like what house they are in order on the water line. How many people are out here drinking tap water like that? And you mean to tell me those places don't have wells? That's well town if I've ever seen it.
That's not, it's not like the first house has to use water before it'll move to the second house.
Right, exactly.
Like, they also just happen to drink water in the order that they live.
Right. It's very, like, that part left a little to be desired. But, so he's like, yep, my house was next in line. It's like, How do you know? What the fuck are you talking about? I don't know what house, like, I don't know where I am in the line of my water.
Yeah, but I like that at this part of the movie, the line starts to get blurred. Like, I feel like their suspicion kind of, like, starts to get the better of them. Like, because they're all tense, so then they all start to treat one another like they're going crazy. Girl starts coughing, and then they all start fucking freaking out on each other. Like, it's all right. She's okay. And then the fucking helicopter goes over. I really like this scene. The car wash scene.
Yo, the car wash scene is so traditionally scary. Like, just anywhere that all of your senses are completely overrided. And now you are being hunted. It's so good.
They're driving, and a helicopter goes over. So to get out of sight, they shoot into this car wash. But someone turns the car wash on and starts pulling the car, so they can't get off the track. And then a bunch of crazies start smashing the windows and stuff. And they're like beating them, and like Roddy Mitchell's slamming that motherfucker's head on the hood. And then Oliphant shoves that dude's head into the fucking brushes. Yeah.
I feel like there've got to be safeguards on that shit that would prevent your head from getting crushed by a fucking brush.
And then, like, right when they get at the end where the car's coming out, a crazy busts through the back windshield and wraps a hose around Killer Frost's neck, and she gets pulled out of the car and hung.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
These ones are really, like, the ones that team up are very intelligent and very elaborate in how they intend to kill people.
They are. They get very, very vicious when they get in packs. So they get out of the car to, like, unhang this girl, and the car, like, keeps going, and it gets fucking missiled by the helicopter. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, now you're really fucked.
Like, why didn't you just launch a missile at the fucking car wash?
Right. If you have the technology, use the technology.
So then they're just kind of, like, aimlessly walking down the road. They see an SUV coming. Deputy's like, fuck this. Throws out a spike strip. Wrecks that SUV. They were going to, like, shoot it out and steal it. And it's like, nope.
No, only murder in my heart. That bitch flips over. They're fucked in that thing.
And they're interrogating this guy. This guy is also a that guy.
Yeah, he's
in a ton of. He's in the first Transformers movie.
I think he's one of the leads in House of Cards, if I'm not mistaken.
That would make sense. Yeah, he's definitely a government type.
Yeah,
and he plays one in this.
Looks good in a suit.
And this is where they're all talking about, like, yeah, we were transporting the virus to Texas to destroy it because it's like too powerful, and it crashed and kind of fucked up your town. Might be.
Whoopsie daisy.
And, like, while they're interrogating this guy, fucking deputy just blows his brains out. And they're like, what the fuck, dude? And he's like, eh.
That's the point where the characters catch up with the audience on him. Like, they're like, okay, we've gone too far into crazy town for this guy not to be sick.
Fool me once. And they try to, like, take his guns, but then he turns the tables and winds up taking their guns. I feel like this happens a couple of times where it's like, let me tell you something. Punch to the face.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Ah, you got me.
So, like, yeah, deputy gets the guns and, like, kind of, like, makes him walk for a while. And then Oliphant's like, nah, bruh, chill. Sneak attack. And then he gets the guns back. And the guy's like, yeah, I know. I'm going the crazies. He's like, let me just hang out with you for a little bit more. And they're like, all right.
Yeah, this dude's been ride or die. They got to wait until he dies.
Yeah, and he is. And he does ride and die. They get to like a checkpoint. And he's like, I'll distract these guys. No worries.
At which time they sat and watched him do it instead of executing the plan.
Yeah, they're supposed to be like sneaking around the checkpoint while he goes out there and is like, I'm not infected. Pull a gun on you.
Yeah.
But that does happen, and they do get around. And they get back to the bus stop where Timothy Oliphant had been before, and they were like, oh, shit. Turns out they just killed all of those people and, like, burnt their bodies, and they didn't rescue anybody.
Like the diner scene? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was also, like, really well done.
There's just trucks full of burnt corpses with the bracelets. They were given bracelets like, you're good to go. You're clear. And all these people had bracelets, so it was just a false sense of security so they could line you up and shoot you, basically.
Yeah, it's fucking internment camp central right there. Like, you can't get past that shit. And just the way that they film, like, we finally made it. And then they're at the dead end. Like, this is where all the people who thought they made it ended. And there was no getting past it. And then at the same time, there's fucking the crazies around.
Yeah, they always seem to be afoot. They're at, like, a diner. And they're like, wait, we can get this, like, big rig running and we'll take this. But then there's some crazies afoot. And it's the guys, there's a point where they were making their way through town. And those guys, the hunters that found the body, they were, like, hunting people. Like, they had gone, the crazies, and they started hunting people.
Oh,
down.
Shit, I didn't put that together.
Yeah, because that's what they do, they hunt. So then, they're at the diner truck stop, and those guys fucking show up, and they gotta throw down.
I feel like someone gets killed with a frying pan at some point. There's a frying pan involved somewhere.
Yeah, there's definitely some fryers involved. They get down in the oil pit underneath the truck. That was cool, because I used to work in one of those, so I was like, oh, I know exactly what's happening here. Like, all of the shit was accurate. The, like, really? Tray that he slides, and the oil splashes on the guy, and then he sets him on fire. That's a real thing.
Interesting. Did not know that.
That catches all the oil when you're underneath. Yeah, you can slide it wherever you need it. But yeah, they fight those people. There's some stabbing. There's some setting somebody on fire, but it somehow doesn't set the truck above them on fire. And then they leave. They Timothy Oliphant somehow knows how to drive an 18-wheeler.
I mean, how hard can it be?
It's a lot different.
It's not an airplane, though.
It's true. And then as they start to get out of town, a fucking nuclear bomb goes off.
Yep, we're in Return of the Living Dead territory now.
Was that necessary? Was that necessary?
How else were you going to end that?
I guess. And then they're getting to, like, Salt Lake City, I believe. And they're, like, walking now because the truck's all fucked up. And as they, like, get into Salt Lake City, it, like, pans out, and now there's a containment on Salt Lake City, because now there's the crazies there as well.
And that's the end of the movie, right?
Yeah, and then I'm sure some sort of new metal song
playing. Yeah, solid fucking movie.
Yeah, pretty solid. I looked up the director. He didn't really do much after this. He did Sahara before this.
Alan Quatermain is Matthew McConaughey.
Because it was, yeah, Steve Zahn was in Sahara with Matthew McConaughey, directed by this guy. So he told Timothy Oliphant to do this movie because they had worked on a movie together. And he was like, yeah, this director's the best. So that's why he did this movie.
He said Zahn is his last name. Who is this guy?
Steve Zahn. Well, Steve Zahn. You know Steve Zahn. He's in Sahara, but he's also in a ton of other things.
Okay.
You know, if you saw him, you'd know him.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he's a that guy. But he hasn't really done anything else. I think he did the Last Witch Hunter. Is that what it's called? The Vin Diesel movie.
The recent Vin Diesel movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He also did that. That was the next thing he did. So he didn't make a movie for 5 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and Sahara was like 5 years before that, so.
He definitely is a film student. Like, this dude didn't just pop up out of nowhere, though, because he filmed this movie like it was a Western. Just, like, the way the panning shots where it's, like, Timothy Oliphant is walking dead center screen, walking forward while the camera is above, panning outward. It's very, like, Clint Eastwood, John Wayne. Like, a lot of the same shots that are commonly used in Westerns were used in this quote-unquote zombie movie, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely... That's why I was shocked to not find a ton of credits under his belt, because I'm like, this is a competently made movie.
Very much so.
And I really liked it. I would definitely watch it again. I'm shocked I have never seen it, and I'm shocked I don't hear more people talk about it. I would recommend this to people.
Yeah, this is a good movie. There are parts in the plot where I kind of start to fall away, but just like I said at the beginning, that shit pulls you right back. Oh no, they're in the room. They got a knife in his hand. Oh my god! Like it's they hit you at the right beats at the right time that you don't expect.
And I think it's paced well because it has quite a few of those points where it's like, "Well, we got you again.
Yep.
We got you again. Like here's another twist. Here's another twist." So yeah, no, definitely good. Makeup effects were good. Cinematography was good. Like it was, all the acting was very good. Like, yeah, it was a solid movie. So what are we rating?
What are we
gonna
rate it out of?
Fucking hand knives,
bone saws.
Bone saw is ready.
I got you for 3 minutes. Anyway, Pitchforks is really the only answer, right?
There we go. Yeah, that works.
Pitchforks. How many pitchforks out of 5 you giving this bad boy?
I would give it...
Before you answer, do you want to hear my answer?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm giving this 5 pitchforks out of 5 right now. Oh, I thought this movie was fantastic. There isn't any point of this movie where I'm like, well, that was dumb. Like, there isn't any point of this movie where I'm like, that's not believable. There's no point in this movie where I'm like, fuck this movie. This is bullshit. This is a great movie. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, that is true. I can't think of anything I didn't like. So, yeah. Yeah, no. I was going to say 4.5, but I can't really think of what I'm taking anything off of it for.
Right.
So, yeah.
Kakoa Shaw rides again, motherfucker. Yeah. So, just in general, okay, we've been doing High on Horror for a while now. We don't seem to have a lot of 2s and 3s. Like, you either hate it or we are pretty fucking into it. And this one really, really is like the personification of a Kakoa Shaw movie, in my opinion. It has everything. It's got the good acting. It's got the good production. It's got the good story. It's got the gore. It's got the practical. It's everything that we value in a movie, in one movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure to some people this is not Kakoa Shaw approved. But, I mean, it's Kakoa Shaw approved is just as much of a feeling as it is a rating system.
That's true.
Sometimes you're just feeling Kakoa Shaw flowing through your veins.
And sometimes you're not. You rate one of the greatest horror movies in history a 4 out of 5 for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Blob gets like a 3.5.
Yeah, that's...
But it's one of the best movies we've ever done.
We might need to revisit that. We still talk about it. And it's like the 3rd episode.
Yeah. We will talk about that soon. I want to do a 100th episode spectacular. Take a look back at the things.
And it might be sooner. What episode is this? We've done this a while.
This is like 84, I think.
We've done so much High on Horror. So, audience, if you're really enjoying it and you want to participate in the conversation, you can meet us on social media. On H Pod, wherever you get your social media. I think, which one is H on H Podcast?
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Oh, okay, all of them. H on H Podcast. That's us. Yeah. We both have control over it, so you never know who you're going to be talking to. You see,
this is episode 87.
87.
And we missed a lot of weeks, so it should be over 100 by now.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? So. Yeah, man, this is awesome. I'm so glad that this episode went well and that you liked it. It was your suggestion, but when you said you wanted to do it, I was like, fuck yes, let's fucking go.
Hell yeah. Yep. Yeah, no. Once I saw the Oliphant was involved, I've never seen anything I didn't like him in, so I had to do it. And the clips I was seeing, it looked great, so I'm not disappointed.
No.
Come back next week. We will. It'll probably be a pre-recorded episode we did a while ago on Dr. Sleep.
Oh, shit. We never dropped that one?
Yep, that hasn't come out yet. We got, I think, 2 left that we've pre-recorded, so we'll sprinkle those in. Also, looking forward to upcoming episodes. We did a commentary for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Very good time.
That was a great time.
Definitely got to listen to that one. We're going to be doing more commentaries because those are, they're just fun. So definitely sprinkle those in from time to time, probably like once a month. And yeah, we will think of some other movies. I know we've talked about a couple, so we'll definitely got some things a brewing. Find our merchandise if you want to get a t-shirt. It's hnhpod.threadless.com. Get some of our swag. Get it on your body. And yeah, we will see you next time. Take us out, Miles.
Remember, life is tough, so why not get
high on horror?